Chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. And when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began saying unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went you out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft raiment, soft clothing, are in kings' houses. But what went you out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And then I want to read from Luke chapter 12, verse 41 through 48. Luke chapter 12, verse 41 through 48. And then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom the Lord shall make ruler over his house, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But, and if that servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and to drink, and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him asunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant, which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required, and to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask more. Let's just bow our hearts to pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, because we do not have to walk this valley of the shadow of death without your presence. We love you, Lord, as we go through trials, go through times that are low in our lives that we feel like is a valley. We pray, God, you help us to remember that we are just changing mountaintops. Lord, we know that everything in you is yea and amen, because you made it that way for us. And we accept that tonight, Lord. We accept your word, and we pray, God, that in your great Holy Spirit that's here as an office of your presence, Lord, to give power and unction to your people. We ask, God, that you come and just break the bread of life tonight to us. Lord, that each one of us can go today as we leave this place tonight and say, it was good to be in the house of the Lord. We ask, God, that you would speak to every heart that's present here and those that are streaming. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Strange title today, maybe, but I hope after we're done you'll understand why I title it Maturity to the Age. Maturity to the Age. Amen. How many of you know we're made in God's image? Amen. You know, we should know that because the scripture tells us that right off the bat in Genesis. God made man in his own image. And so, you know, God is, because God is, we are made in his image, then we kind of know a lot about him in certain ways. And we know that God is the author of growing and learning and maturing. He brought us into this world not as grown men and women. He brought us into this world as little children, little babes, totally helpless, and many years before we become fully full functional adults and able to take care of ourselves, as we would say. God is the author of that. He made it that way. Right. And even he, when he came here, he subjected himself to the same program. He came as a little child, and the scripture tells us that he grew in knowledge and wisdom and in favor and stature and in favor with God and men. And, you know, we have a tendency to think of him as something greater than us, which he is, but in his earthly pilgrimage while he was here, he was in flesh just like us, and he would get hungry like us and get tired like us, and was hurt him that he feared, and all the things, the emotions we have, he had that. Right. And so he subjected himself to the same thing that would start out small and would grow and would learn and get bigger and greater until some point of fulfillment would be met, that he was the author of that to us, and so we know that even he would subject himself to the same thing as he did. And so we understand that in that mode, what I'm talking about here, in that mode of starting out small and growing and learning and so forth, in that mode, he overcame. And he overcame in the same way that he committed to you and I to overcome. He, as the prophet said so many times, he could have smoked Satan any way he wanted, but he didn't do that. He didn't use that power. He just used the word, and he overcame as a pattern, just like we can. Mm-hmm. If we believe like he did, we get the same results he did, right? And so we know that. And we realize God is a dispensationalist, as the scripture tells us in Ephesians, that God would in the dispensation of the fullness of times, as we've said before, how God would, I always talk about a soap dispenser or something like that. You push it and it puts out a certain amount of soap. You push it again a little bit more. God dispensed out ages, times and ages. And each age was a little different. But it was his plan for it to be that way. And so what I want to show you is that as God dispensed out ages, there was a certain character, a certain call, a certain word, a certain environment for each of those ages. And it also started out small and grew and got stronger and stronger as the ages went on. And what we'll see as we go through this, the revelation of God was unfolding greater and greater and greater as the ages go on. And so God dispenses those things out that same way. And we know that God will never hold a man accountable for something that the man doesn't know, right? We know that. God is a just God, and that's why when people always want to say, well, what about people that's never heard? Well, he knows their heart. He knows what they have and have not been subjected to. And he knows what they have received or have rejected. But nobody's ever going to get a raw deal, right? Actually, if God gave us fair deals, we'd all be lost. So his unfair deal only goes one way, right? But if a person is lost, it's not because God missed something and made a mistake and thought that they had disobeyed his word when they really had obeyed it. That's not going to happen, right? We understand that. So he's not going to hold a man accountable if that man has not been come into contact with what God is holding him account, would hold him accountable to. Okay. And so he's not going to do that if the man doesn't know it. And so God has a way. You know, God is in the business of saving, right? So God has a way of atoning for our sins of ignorance. He's always had the way, you know, because there are sins where there's iniquity where you know better and you do it anyway, or what you understand. But then there's sins and things like that, and then there's sins of ignorance. And God in the Old Testament there was a way for atoning for the sins of ignorance. And so, because God's just simply not going to judge a man for something he's not been known and exposed to. And so we do the same thing with our children. When a child is born, we have Brother Daniel's brand new grandbaby. Well, he can't stand and talk, and you can't say, hey, you know, Noah, go get me a cup of water or something like that. He can't say that because he's not able. And we understand that. And because of that, we make accommodations for that, right? We cover for that. We make up the difference where he's short. Now, if we can do that, then wouldn't God do that, right? So through the ages, when God knows what he had divvied out and what he had not, and if he hasn't given it out, he's not going to call for it. And so even though that might not be meeting the mark of the full plan of redemption, God will have atonement. He'll have a way to cover that. He won't call for it. He won't hold that person responsible if he's not giving it out. Right? We understand that. I'm not saying anything we don't already know, but this is how the Lord just put this whole thought process on me to share with you. And so, but it's a different story if a child grows up and they're a grown man, and now they just can't, they can't do what a grown man would do. They're still playing with sticks in the dirt or something like that. Then you know something's wrong. Something's perverted, or something's gotten in the way, and something's not developed like it should be. And so we understand that concept that if God, that if it has, if it's time for it, then God will call for it. And we know that it's time for it when God has given it out, and then he calls for it. So the call for maturity will match the age. That's why I gave it the title, Maturity for the Age. The maturity level will match the age. And so I will tell you that little Noah, right, little Noah Black, is absolutely fully mature for the age. He's not missing one mark, right? And so Aiden, fully mature for the age, right? We don't call for something that's not proper for the age. But if it is the age, then we do, and we expect that. And God's the same way, all right? And so there is a maturity that matches the age. And so God would not call for Luther or Wesley to manifest full end time bride manifestation because he had not given it out, right? And so we understand that. He would not call for last day manifestation. But in each age, God would divvy out a portion of his word, and then once he divvies that out, pushes that out to his people, makes it available to people, reveals it to people, then that's what he calls for. He just simply calls for people to believe the manifestation he's presently giving. And even though in Luther's day that was only a portion of Christ, that's what he called for and nothing more. So we understand that. And so that's that portion of the word that he pushes out, lets out, that's what he calls for. And so you can see now why he would call for a fully mature, totally word-clothed bride for this day. Because he's giving that out. He's making it. When the scripture said that when it was granted to her to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, it was given to her. It was given out. The revelation came. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. It came. And so therefore, it's responsible, her responsibility to clothe herself in what was given. Amen? And so it had been granted to them. It had been given to her. And so you see why he's calling for that. And so you realize that the bride must match the bridegroom.
Right.
He can't be a grown man and her be half grown. Okay. There's a maturity level, but that maturity level only comes at the age. And so he would not call for that until he had given that. And so naturally at his coming, when he wants to come and receive a bride, it would be foolish for him to try and come and receive a bride that he has not granted to her full maturity, full preparedness. So it all works together at the same time, so you understand that. So she must be able to receive him.
Right.
A wife, a bride must be able to receive her husband. Amen? And so we know that. And so that's why Luther could smoke a pipe and he could drink and he could cuss and still be an angel to the age. Because it wasn't given anything beyond that. You say, well, you know, anybody that's got the Holy Ghost knows better than to do those things. Not in that age, because he wasn't given. If God would have revealed to Luther, don't drink, smoke, or cuss, he would have stopped. Right? It wasn't given. And that's why Wesley could all his life preach Trinity doctrine. Because he didn't know. And he was still a messenger to the age. God didn't have a problem with that. Because God knows what he's granted to his church and when he's done it. And when he knows what he hasn't done. Amen. And so we always need to remember that this is what God's doing. This whole thing is God's doing. His calling, his allowing his revelation to come, because he could be hidden from now on. He didn't have to do that. but he will reveal himself so his people, and there's a matching maturity level that goes with that, and it's the word that comes forth that brings forth that manifestation or that maturity level. It's just, and so for any given day, the people's job was just simply to believe, to receive and believe what God was showing for their day. Nothing else. They don't have to go any further. And God calls it righteousness. Right? Abraham didn't have a revelation of the seven seals. But the portion of God that had been given him, he believed. And it was counted to righteousness, for him to righteousness, right? Not because he did this or because he did that, but because God had granted to that. So when God would give forth the revelation, he's got somebody that's predestinated to receive it. It would be ignorant for him to reveal it, and there's nobody there that's going to receive it. He knows what he's doing. So when he gives out his word, he's got somebody there that is going to strike. And when that hits them, they're going to believe it, and that places them in righteousness when they receive that revelation. Amen. So, we believe that. So, in each age, as he revealed his portion of his word, which is Christ in mystery form and now revealed in our day, that to receive and believe and to recognize, believe and receive that revelation for that day, that portion of the word, that was their new birth. That was their new birth. Amen? That was the evidence that they had the Holy Ghost in their life. They might not have spoken tongues. They might not have shouted, run, whatever. They might have. They might not have. But the revelation of every age was that they believed, received and believed what God was giving for their age. And that was their new birth. Even in the small portion it was, in a portion of Christ, a part of Christ. And so, he's always got someone who's predestinated to it. And so that's the way it is today. So, as the revelation progressed, the ages progressed. That's what made one age different from another, was the portion God was revealing. Right? So if God would reveal a certain thing to Luther, he couldn't call it another age when he revealed the same thing to Wesley. But it was when he revealed a little more of himself to another messenger, that made it a new age. Another age. You understand? So as God would give out portions of himself, that's what established the calendar, the timeline, the ages, coming through seven ages, was God. And for each of those ages, those people, when they received what God did in that age, that was their new birth, their Holy Ghost for that age. Amen. I'm dwelling on that because I want you to know it's the same today. It's exactly the same today. It's just that today the portion that he has revealed is the full revelation of Jesus Christ, not just some part. And so that's what he calls for. That's what he's equipped us with. All right? And that is our new birth. So when the prophet said, you remember him saying that, you say, well, what is the new birth? He says the new birth is the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. That's the new birth. Amen. What is the evidence? He said, oh, at one time he was like, well, I think love. That's probably it. Love is love. That's, you know, you got the Holy Ghost, it's because you got love. But later on, the Lord corrected that, see, and said, it is receiving the word for your day. Amen. And of course, the word for your day causes a manifestation, right? So we're not talking about people just living any old way and saying, I believe, because if you believe, it's going to change the way you live. Right? We know that. Amen. But don't try and live that way if you don't have the revelation of it. Because then you get the cart before the horse, or the trailer before the tractor. Amen. So God was systematically letting out more revelation of himself. And as that revelation come forth, and we, each one of us, had a personal revelation of that to ourselves, that become our new birth. Amen. And so that is why the scripture said John the Baptist of all born of women, it was the greatest that was born of woman. Because think of the Old Testament and God as the ages rolled on. But the Old Testament, you know, the prophet said the Old Testament had seven church ages too, right? And so as all that unfolded, when you get right down, and the Old Testament was about to pass away or to close out and bring the New Testament, and John was a messenger of the covenant. But what I want to show you here is that John was greater than all the ones before him, not because he was a better man, but because that was the age, and that was what God was revealing. That the revelation at that time was a greater movement, a greater unfolding than what had happened prior to that. And it just happened to be that that John is the one it fell on. Right? John was not that one because he said, "Here am I want to be that one." John was that because that's who it fell on, that's who God put it on. And so it wasn't because John was better and all that, but John was greater than all the ones before because the revelation given was greater, the unfolding was further down the line and was greater. Right? You understand that? But then Jesus turned right around in the very next sentence and said, "Howbeit, even the least born in the kingdom of heaven is greater than him." Why? Because even the least born under the New Testament covenant was greater than the Old Testament covenant. Right? So Jesus right there in one sentence showed this whole concept right here that you are mature to the age. And what I want to show you is that God's believers in any given age, in his eyes, they're perfect. They're fully mature to the age. So you can never call for them to stand in this day because they wouldn't have it. But in their day, God had no problem. They were righteous in his presence in their day. Amen. And so that's why John the Baptist can say that about him and say that about anyone born in the kingdom being greater than him, because that portion was what was revealed. And at any given age, the church in that age, or the people, the believers of that age, became the manifestation of Christ for that age. Amen. But when the prophet said the seventh seal was all through the Bible, through all the types and channels, because the seventh seal is the revealing of Christ. And in type and shadow, he was revealing himself in Moses and in David and in all the... He was revealing himself through all those ages, through these little ways, and each one of those in their manifestation, that was their ticket. That's what made them part of the Word, was because they were the ones that it came to, and they became the manifestation of that portion of Christ for their day and for their age. And it's the same today. And so, like I said, it wasn't because John was a better Christian or anything like that. We are born to the age and to the word of the age. And so, like I said, that's why Luther could drink and smoke and do those things and still be an angel to the age, because he was true to the revelation that God gave him. Wesley was the same thing. You see, sin is unbelief. But you cannot sin from something you don't know. You can't sin from something that's not been given. Right? If sin is unbelief, then you have to unbelieve something. Now you have to be, well, if you don't know it, it's not sin. Right? So God does not hold people responsible. That's why the scripture said that I think in Romans that I forget how it says it exactly, but that they still died, even though sin had not been imputed to them because there was no law. They still died anyway because of the fall, but the sin was not imputed like that until the law came along, right? But now the law comes along now because they know. Now they know better, that sort of thing. And so if God had not revealed to Luther an end-time message, then they can't be sin to him for not living an end-time message because it hadn't been given, right? So he's not guilty of unbelief. The word that God had given to Luther, he believed. The manifestation of the word that God had given to Abraham, he believed. Abraham had mistakes. We read about him. But he believed. He believed that portion of Christ that was manifested that day, and by believing it, he became the manifestation of that mystery being revealed. And it's that way through all the ages. Amen. And so sin is unbelief, but you can't sin with something you're just not being, that you don't understand, you don't know. And so that's why Luther could be that, Wesley could be that. That's why Brother Branham could have a progressive revelation. That's why Brother Branham could preach early on something that was not right, and then later on correct it. And yet the pillar of fire was with him back there when he was saying it wrong. Follow me? See, people want to, you got to get into God's program and let God's program, let it run out the way God wants it. And I would think, you know, to me, I was like, well, wait a minute. You know, why would the pillar of fire be present with him like that if he was, you know, if he was just a devil? You understand what I'm saying? And so we know that God didn't have a problem with that. There were times when Brother Branham would say something, he'd say Moses when it should have been Noah, or Noah when it should have been Moses, and God didn't stop him. It was not a problem. But there were other times whenever he'd say something wrong, God would bring him back in right then and say, wait a minute, correct that. You see what I'm saying? So, we're the same. If God wants to reveal to you, he does. And revelation comes in seasons. You have seasons where it just, so many things just come, and then there's times that maybe it doesn't. But God's the author of the revelation. And he's got somebody to receive it. And it's not like, well, I gotta find that revelation so I can believe it. No, God sends it to who it belongs to. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about it. God gives it to who it belongs to. But once he's revealed it to you, he wants you to live in it. He wants you to let it transform your life. He wants you to clothe yourself with it once he gives it. Amen. So Brother Branham could have a progressive revelation, and that's okay. That's okay. And so my question is, and I say this in the face of all these skeptics and all these people that pick and nitpick and walk away from the message because they think that, well, he did, you know, he did this or whatever. You see in the Bible, same thing. Jesus. See? Some of the things they want to condemn Brother Branham for, I can show you Jesus did. Same thing. What appeared to be him changing what he was saying. But he didn't. He wasn't changing it. Right? But what I want to say is, can we allow God to do that? Can we allow God to let Jesus come into the world as a small child and not know everything, and then grow and learn, and learn obedience by the things he suffered? Can we let God do that in man, even in Christ? Let him grow until finally he could fully manifest the reason why he came here? He couldn't do that as a 12-year-old boy, even though you could already see things were going on in his life there that God was with him, right? But my question is, can we let God do that? And surely anybody with the right mind would have to say, yes, we have to, because it's in the Bible. We see it. We see it. Why did God let Paul have all those years learning and all that and then go out and begin to persecute? See? Because God hadn't spoke to Paul yet. Once he speaks, it changes. Amen? And Paul didn't run out and go, Lord, talk to me so I'll change my major. No, it's all God. That's why when he got a hold of you, you didn't say, well, today I'm going to start serving God, unless God spoke to your heart. Amen. Amen. And so, can we let God do that? Can we let Paul say, who is Paul, not only is Paul one of the church age messengers, Paul was the one who brought the entire gospel to the Gentiles. He laid the foundation, and we all have to be on that foundation, right? So Paul was, and he suffered a lot for that. But can we let it be that Paul can be that? He can be the apostle that wrote most of the New Testament. He can be the apostle that God used to bring this gospel to the Gentiles to get a bride, right? To find a bride and lay that foundation, and can say, let everybody take heed how you build on this, right? And Paul could be that, but can we let that be, that he can be all that, and yet Paul said, we see through a glass darkly. Can we let God move in people's lives that way? I hope we say yes. Right? Because Paul could say, we see through a glass darkly, but there's coming a day. But then, somebody's going to see face to face. And I asked you, who is that somebody? Can we let God do that? Can we let God unfold himself through ages and a people here at the end time have a greater exposure to Christ and therefore a greater expression of Christ in this day? Can we let him do that? And though we are laden with mistakes, can we let the God of this Bible live today and still be his people today? Amen? Can we let Brother Branham grow in his revelation? Can we say, he's the messenger? I know that he used to call it body, soul, spirit, and soul, but later on it changed. It is body, spirit, soul. Right? He had those two inside ones backwards, right? But Brother Dan's shaking his head, he knows. Can we allow that? Apparently God did. Right? So why am I saying all this? Because I want you to understand that God's with you. You receive the revelation of your day. You are righteous. You accept that word. You're clothing it. You are already without spot or blemish or wrinkle, as I mentioned Sunday. Not because you're a better person, but because it's the day and that's what he's revealing and you're the one he's giving it to. And all you got to do is do like Abraham. Believe God and it'll be counted to you for righteousness. Yeah. Right? That whole thing, it will change the way you live. You will begin to walk in humility in the things that causes. But you don't do that to get those things. Those things come because you have that revelation that God has given to you. He's the one in control of all of it. Because when he said, he will present to himself a wife without spot or bride, he's doing it. Right? Amen. So, God has not, through the lives of these men, he's not changing things. He's just bringing the lens into better focus. That's what God did in Brother Ram's life. But later on he said, I used to think that, I used to preach that, but now here's what it is. That's all it is. He's just allowing him to grow in revelation because God could have told him that way back when. But he did, because God is the author of growing and learning and maturing, which takes time. He's the author of that. He went through it. Paul went through it. Brother Branham went through it. We go through it. And I say that because so much of the time, as we go through it, Satan wants to tell us we're all washed up. No, we're not. We believe. We believe what God is doing in our day. Once that revelation is given to us, then of course he expects us to clothe ourselves in it and walk in it. And so that is why the scripture said, we read there, to whom more is given, more is required. Right? At a later age, when he gives more revelation, more is required. Again, I don't know if everybody caught it the other day, but I want to say it again. It's not on my notes, but it comes to mind right now, but when he said, John, take, eat that book, it's sweet in my mouth, bitter in my belly, for thou wast prophesied before all kindred, tongue, nations, and people. And that does not mean that John typing the bride, that doesn't mean that the bride, the entire bride, or even any part of the bride has to go to some nation and stand up and say, thus saith the Lord such and such. That's not what that's talking about. Because the scripture tells us the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I'll ask you, how much of that spirit of prophecy could Luther prophesy when he only knew part of Christ? Right? Wesley, part of Christ. But here at the end, when the full revelation has now been given to the bride because he's coming to marry that bride, right? Then in that experience, that eating of that book that now is in the belly, and John goes in the strength of that, in the eating of that experience or the knowing Christ in that full word form, that allows this end time bride to go and preach this message and get you have the spirit of prophecy to the whole world, to all kindred tongues, nations, and people. So that helps you know that that's a people that's doing it before rapture, before the gospel goes strictly to the Jews. It's all people's kindred tongues and nations. So we realize, as we talk about these things, that the manifestation of the token was limited. You know, Brother Branham said token could only come at evening time. Again, all through at the end of the ages, at evening time. What was token? Full life of Christ on display. It couldn't be done until it had been given. But now that it has been given, now the token can be on display. Right? Now that John has ate the book, now he can go in that testimony of Jesus like no other church could before. Amen. And so that manifestation of the token was limited until the full revelation of Jesus Christ was brought out. But now it can be lived out. It's available to the bride. It can now be lived out. And that makes the bride the final voice. Final voice, really, we call it final voice. Why? Because full Christ has come, a full bride manifestation of that for uniting. That there's not any more after that. Now he'll go to the Jews. But that's it. That's the final voice for the Gentiles for the final age. And so you see, how much of this end time word should we believe? How much should we believe? Should we pick and choose and leave things out? It's the very revelation that has made the age, made the people what they are. And that's why Satan fights against us believing these things that God has done in our day. This end time revelation, fully manifested, even in the flesh of a man, born in, you know, in Kentucky. But God did things under the show that this full revelation had been made known. And so that's why Satan fights it so much. The revelation of this message, which is the entire Bible. It's the entire Bible on display. Because remember how the prophet said, I'm identified in. Oh, I'm identified in all those things. We have to be because we are further manifestation of all those things. So I'm identified with Moses and David and like America, we're identified with America because of those things. And so this people here at the end time living out full entire association of the Bible, the revelation of the seventh seal, which is Christ, that's what we're living. Full manifestation of the token life. That makes it Christ embodied in believers in this day. Embodied in those, which makes that makes it the rapture, because he is the resurrection and the life. When he has come and revealed that full portion, then if you get him, you get rapture. Right? I mean, remember, I think Brother Brown talking about when he was standing there in discernment. And I did look it up. It just comes to mind where he said, when he's talking to the person, and he said, if he'll come and give me a temporary resurrection, right? What happens when he comes to us? It changes us, right? It's the word that changes us. It's as with Enoch walking with God and was not, for God took him. It is an end time bride walking with this word that changes us. Amen. So it's the embodiment of God, Christ, in his believers today that is rapture. Amen. And that is a full embodiment or incarnate, I guess I could use the word, of Christ in the people who he has come to. So that makes it Christ in bride form. That's why all these terminologies you hear is, that's all it is. That's just simply that it's just him. The rapture is a person, the person of Christ. It's the fullness of the word that has come. Amen. To that we are thankful. And so, because of that, when you feast on and you receive and you become the manifestation, you are the revival. You are the rapture. You are the lived out manifestation of the rapture happening right now, because God is changing us in the midst of a world that's trying everything in the world to keep us from changing, and God is still changing us. Amen? And all it takes is just a little, one of these days, the flesh will catch up with the revelation that's in our heart. Amen. It is a tremendous work that God has done in our day, just bringing it all to pass. And we have nothing to do except rejoice in it and just keep reading that word. Keep absorbing it. Amen. We are mature to the age. We're no more mature, and you know, we're not more mature than Luther was, because Luther was mature to his age because the law was given. But we are a fuller or greater manifestation of those things because God has given more. Amen. Let's stand and pray just for a moment, and then we'll sing a song. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this midweek service, Lord. We thank you for your word. And Lord, these things are not for head knowledge. Lord, that's not what it is. Theologians can do that. But Lord, we say these things, we share them, Lord, as you bring them forth, that your people might know and understand that they're walking the same path you did. And Lord, that they stand in a glorious, there are angels gathered all around as their breath, as it were, would be held, watching what you've done. Lord, we know there was silence in heaven for the space of half an hour. Lord, how that your presence would come if angels were there worshiping you, and when you would come down here just for a short space, Lord, they would be silent, holding their breath to see what's going on, what's about to happen. I pray, Lord, that revelation would speak to us and mean to us that much that it would do the same to us, Lord. As sometimes we have a hard time, just sometimes it does cause us to hold our breath as we see what you're doing, how that you work so wonderfully. So we just pray, God, that these things that I've spoken to now, Lord, you've committed to the hearts of your children. We love you, Lord, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Mercy, O Father.
soul.